Thank you, Gordon. Good evening, everyone. And all of you who are live streaming, good evening. I'm thankful to be here and was considering throughout this last week, my boys and I, my two oldest, or my all three of my boys, were with me up hunting. We had an elk hunt this past week, and we're up there with my old partner from the SWAT team for years, and his two sons, and we were up, and I should have put some pictures of it up in the on the rim. It was beautiful. All the leaves were changing on the aspens, and at one point we were up high in the pines and aspens and fir trees and going through some canyons, and if we weren't chasing elk, I would have stopped to take a picture. The whole hillside was just covered with pink leaves. It looked like we were walking through pink carpet. You remember that, Zahner? Yeah, it's pretty cool. And just beautiful to be up there. As we were up there, one of these things that I do, I'm not as detailed when it comes to a trip as someone like Dwayne. When I was going to go to Africa, Dwayne gave me his list of what he packs for Africa, and he's very organized. He's done it a bunch of times. I'm not that organized, but there are certain things that when I'm going to travel, I make sure that I always have. And so when I went up there, I had, among other things, I had extra pairs of contacts and I had my glasses. Some of you might not have known that I have my eye, my vision is corrected. I've worn contacts for a long time. Many years ago, Aunt Trish, do you remember how many years ago you went and bought me contacts? I was in high school. Aunt Trish must have realized that I couldn't see very well, and she took me, and I remember still where we went, someplace over by Metro Center, and I had my vision corrected. She bought me some contacts, and I remember when I got back to the house over here, I stood on the front porch, and I looked across to the hills over here, and I could make out the rocks on the mountain. I thought, man, I didn't even realize what I was missing. So when we were there, my son Easton is wearing contacts now and glasses and all that. Well, he didn't have his glasses on. I asked him, I said, did you bring your glasses? Well, no, I didn't bring my glasses. Did you bring any extra contacts? No, I didn't bring any extra contacts. Did you bring any contact solution or anything like that? No, I didn't bring any of that. And I said, well, why wouldn't you do that? Because if you can't see, we're going to have a hard time hunting. And it was as if when I said that, I was jinxing us, because it was probably later that day that his left eye, he has to shoot with his left eye, his contact came out and it was bothering him and all that. And so the day he was worthless after that, until Uncle Joel had come up and brought him some extra stuff for and some contacts and his glasses and all that. And it led me down a line of thinking that I wanted to, I just considering today, and my intent of this sermon is to speak pretty simply about some things I think are important. So you see, my title here is Vision, and so you can guess kind of where we're going here. So I just typed into the Googleator today this question. Eventually, is everyone going to need glasses? And it says, Optometry Today, must be a thrilling magazine there, says, the change of the shape of the ocular lens, or its clamping and stretching, and focusing on objects at different distances, happens with the help of the muscle that weakens with age and makes the lens less flexible. That's why sooner or later, everyone will need glasses. So who here does not have corrected vision? Yeah, very few. And you know, I fortunately, when I go back and forth every year to the eye doctor, my prescription has stayed pretty much the same since my Aunt Trish got me the first set of contacts. Hasn't gotten any worse. In fact, this last time the doctor said, well, I think your vision's getting better, which I didn't think you can actually do, but he says so. I have a very relatively small correction, but when I don't have my glasses on, I notice it. In fact, I thought today just through the course of my sermon, I'm going to refer to it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to let you all laugh at me every time I put my glasses on at home. My kids make fun of me. And I think I look scholarly. You haven't seen me yet. I'm sure that I do look very scholarly. But I'm taking my contacts out here, and it's important, you know, just for the course of my sermon here. My vision is good enough I can drive. I can see to the back of the chapel. I can see my Aunt Trish. I can make out what time it is, but it's blurry. Looks to me like it's just about 6:15, maybe 6:12. Nathan's checking me. I'm right. I can see very well up close, but the farther out it gets, the more difficult it is for me to see. Like I said, I can drive. When I'm at work, I leave my contacts in. Some people will take them out. And guys they'll wear their glasses at night. But if I have a fire at night, I'm technically supposed to have a special set of spectacles that goes inside of my mask, so that there's nothing around my ears to get in the way of my mask sealing. But here I am looking all wonderfully studious, and everybody's now going to laugh at me. There you go, Mom. Go ahead and take a picture. No? Yeah. I wear them sometimes when my eyes get tired of wearing contacts because they start to be very uncomfortable. I don't like contacts, I don't like glasses because I don't like not having peripheral vision. It drives me insane when I don't have clear vision all the way around. So I search quite a bit for these that are more curved. But it's important for me to be able to see. And as we go through here, there's going to be some stuff we talk about. But let's keep going here. Proverbs in the 29th chapter and the 18th verse says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." You taking pictures of me, Logan? Just good ones. Just good ones? Oh. That is a good one, yeah. He got me with my eyes looking pretty wild there. This is a scripture that I've looked at and I've considered and I've pondered on several times throughout my life. And I think there's a couple different directions that we can take this. And I've used this as I've been studying with people for marriage. I've used this with young men that I've been talking to in the man class. I believe this has to do with the church in general and the need that we have for the Lord to be speaking to us to help us see forward. But essentially, this is the one of these cruxes of the gospel is that, and it's the same as for every one of us. If you can't see, you can't do pretty much anything. This world has become very convenient for someone who is blind. But that's a new thing. That's a 20th and 21st century change. It used to be that if you were blind, your life would be incredibly hard. And if you weren't someone who had a family member or someone who was willing to do everything for you, you probably wouldn't survive very long. We look in the scriptures and we see that there's several different instances where you see that there's these blind men and they're hanging out by the side of the road just waiting. They're hearing, I'm sure, you know, their hearing is good. They're hearing somebody go by and they're saying, "Would you just help me for today?" Couldn't take care of themselves. And so I think it's important that we think about this. Is being able to see and being able to see clearly. Here in Isaiah in the 59th chapter, I'm going to read 8 through 10 and then 21. This is talking about men. This is talking about people. And it says that in general, you know, people, the way of peace they know not. There's no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind. We grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. I think about that last verse there. We grope for the wall like the blind. And I think about it in my job, whether we're training or I'm in a real fire, you can't see. It's dark. When we're doing training, they put something over your mask so you can't see at all. And they do it intentionally. It's you have to, the way to overcome it really is just to close your eyes and stop trying to fight it. But the way that we move around is we orient ourselves to a wall and we walk and we stumble and bumble into things and we work our way around. It's very uncomfortable. And in general, I believe this is the state of mankind in general, is that without what we're going to talk about here in this next slide, without the Lord, without something to give you a way to see forward, to make decisions and all of that, the best you're going to do is just stumble and bump your way around. Trip and fall. When we are doing things in the fire department, in the fire ground, that's what they call if there's a house fire or anything like that, they call it the fire ground. When we're doing stuff on the fire ground, as soon as it gets to zero visibility, one of the biggest issues that ends up happening is people fall and they hurt themselves, get a lot of equipment on and stuff like that. This is a real problem, and I believe this is a problem for people in general. I know in my life, that until I came to this next place here, my life was about being blind, not knowing where I was going, not having any sort of feeling of direction, kind of stumbling and bumbling my way around and holding on to a wall and trying to walk. And my life was not pleasant. I didn't enjoy it. I was in a real struggle. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 and then 6 through 7, it says, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." You know, this was this prophecy of the coming of Christ. And of course, Isaiah, this prophecy wasn't that, hey, all these people who are blind are all of a sudden going to see. It was people who have not known what to do in life. They've been spiritually dead. They've been making terrible decisions. They've been struggling in everything. That Christ was going to come and he was going to set a clear path in front of people. And my life, as in many of yours, this is probably your testimony, is that before you began taking stock of your life and had fully accepted the word of God and following after Jesus Christ, that the best you could do was stumble around. And yet when the word of the Lord and when Jesus Christ became real in your life, it was as if all of a sudden you could see. And this is important that we think about. So I have here this picture. It says it's got your normal vision here. This dude driving and he can see all the way down. And then on the right there, it's this farsighted vision. If you're farsighted, you can't see stuff that's up close. That's where it's blurry at, but you can see far away. And I'm going to break this into a couple different parts. And the first thing you see, I have my scripture here, John 10 and 10. And Christ is saying, I'm coming to the world that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. And so I want us to think of it as this, is that, you know, in terms of our spiritual vision, being able to see close has to do with the things that are going on in your life today. In your life tomorrow, decisions you make for next week, being able to see close. And I want to talk about a couple of these things. That Jesus Christ came to give sight to the blind and to see these things that are near. And I want to talk about this. So the first thing is I think it's important that we recognize that the Word of God and the working of the Spirit and the purpose of Jesus Christ is to have this communication with you, to be present in your life, to listen to you and to interact with you, And we read here in Alma chapter 16, verses 219 to 222, it's his dissertation where there's this encouragement to a group of people that this is what you should do. And for all of you who are listening to this, if you're trying to figure out, okay, how in my life do I get myself closer to God? What is it that I need to do? This is a very good starting place. Humble yourself and continue in prayer unto him. Cry unto him when you are in your fields, yea, over all your flocks. Cry unto him in your houses, yea, over all your household, both morning and midday and evening. And I'm going to stop there. There's nobody out here. I think I know just about everybody what you do. Nobody here takes care of sheep. Right? We have flocks and fields, though. Every day when I, I'm going to get up in the morning, I'm going to head to work for the next couple days. And as I'm driving, this is one of these things that I'm doing as I'm praying. You know, my responsibilities that I have here, bless me in it. Help me that when I have these opportunities to be an influence in somebody's life, when I get called to somebody's home because they're sick, especially when it's ridiculous stuff that they're calling in the middle of the night and waking me up from my precious sleep, help me to care for the flock in the field that you've put me over. I try to pray that every day. Get up in the morning and my alarm goes off when I'm at home or when I'm at work. I wake up and I ask this and I pray this. And the Lord has given me opportunity. And he's blessed me in my job and these things that I have responsibility over. Cry unto him in your houses, over your household, both morning and midday and evening. Cry unto him against the power of your enemies. Cry unto him against the devil, who's an enemy to all righteousness. Again, if you're looking to see, yeah, I want to get closer to God, I'm struggling. This is one of these things that should be your prayer. And, you know, for me, I wish that I was at this place where I didn't struggle. If there was some genie right here and said, okay, Adam, anything you wish right now is my command, and I do it, I would say, don't let me be tempted ever again. That's the thing that frustrates me in my life the most, that I struggle with things, that my mind wanders, that I get angry, that I'm tempted, things, all of that. And, you know, but the Lord says right here, says, if you want to be able to see, this is how you're able to clear up your vision. You pray about these things. You ask the Lord, do not let me give in to temptation. Cry unto him over the crops of your fields that you might prosper in them. Cry unto them over the flocks of your fields that they might increase. You know, those of you who have jobs here, I hope that you're praying not only that you're a good employee, but I hope it's your desire that you be given more opportunity, that you be given more responsibility, that you be put in a place where you can show Christ in you. And we see that throughout all of Scripture. We see these instances where people were put in positions and they put their heart and their mind to serve the whoever their employer was with all of their heart, and they were a blessing to everyone around them. So if you are looking to try to do something in your life, pray this. Ask the Lord, help me in what I'm doing. Help me to be a good employee, to be a good friend, to be a good mentor, to be a good learner, all of these things. But this is not all. You must pour out your souls in your closets and in your secret places and in your wildernesses. And when you do not cry unto the Lord, let your hearts be full, drawn out into prayer unto him continually for your welfare and the welfare of those that are around you. I hope that as you go through your days, you know, this is how we begin to see the steps that are ahead. One of these things about serving the Lord is we need to be asking and praying the Lord for a change of our mind. I want to think differently. And one of these things is that, you know, I ask the Lord's help. You know, I prayed this. Help me to be drawn out to you in prayer all day. Well, you know, my day is busy. I've got all sorts of stuff. I'm not praying continuously. But I found that my mind wanders less, that I'm quicker to consider something. If I hear something, I'm quick to pray about it and all. This is something that's important, and it helps us see. This blesses us near, right? To see a day in front of us, the minute, the moment in front of us, this first thing, calling out to the Lord in prayer. If you are looking to grow spiritually, I would suggest that you go and you reread the chapters of Matthew 5 through 7. It's this Sermon on the Mount. And in there, if you're looking to find strength for your life, if you are in a place in your life where you want the Lord to work within you, consider these things. And I just kind of throw down just a synopsis of this kind of very famous teaching of Christ. But, you know, this Sermon on the Mount, he starts out with talking about blessed are those people who whose thoughts and whose hearts and whose actions are in these ways, who seek to bring peace, who are humble, who are meek. And he says they are blessed. Their life is better. There is a better result in their life because of these things. And if you're looking to grow spiritually and you're looking to have your vision clear, this is a good place to go and spend your time. Talks about your Christian example. Your example, everyone is watching you. I don't care who you are and I don't care where you're at. There are people who are watching you and they are considering the things that you do. And especially if you're in positions of leadership or if you've gone and you've made statements about your belief or things like that, you need to be considering this, your Christian example, that you are a light that's not supposed to be hidden, that you are a city that's supposed to be on a hill, and that you are supposed to be salt, something that cleans and purifies and blesses those that are around. In this reading, there is this talking that Christ talks about, the fulfillment of the law of Moses. It's not just that that you don't kill somebody. It's that you don't even get angry. Think about how much better you'd be able to see every day if you can overcome anger. There's all these things going on today that probably make you angry. Or people you interact with, you go to work, there's people you may not necessarily care for, you don't like their attitude, you don't like the way they speak, all of this, it makes you upset. Imagine how much more clearly you could see. Talks about that it's not enough that you don't commit adultery, it's that you don't even look with lust. Boy, that's a challenge today. Talks about divorce and oaths and about vengeance, how we treat those people that are against us. If we were to take our time and to consider and to pray about and to try to put all of these things into action, imagine how much clearer you could see. There's lesson in here about giving freely, about how we pray, about what fasting means and what it is you're supposed to do and what the purpose is. You're encouraged to remember that this life is not what is most important. God provides. You have a treasure in heaven. Careful how you judge. If you seek the Lord with your heart, He will bless you. Talks about how we treat other people. Talks about the way to eternal life through Jesus Christ is narrow, but it's plain. Says that you're going to be known by your fruits and that you need to be built upon the rock of Jesus Christ. If we were to look at these things and if you were to give, and I'm not saying that nobody is, I'm just making these statements. If we were to put our heart to considering all of these things and adding it with this previous page of praying about it, how much clearer would our vision be? We certainly could see better. In 2 Nephi chapter 13, verses 15 and then 24 through 26, talks about repentance and baptism and the receiving of the Holy Ghost. And this is something that helps us see day by day. We make mistakes. Your life is unfortunately marked by mistake and failure. But it doesn't have to be defined by mistake and failure. That we see here, it says, the voice of the Son came to me saying, he that's baptized in my name, to him will the Father give the Holy Ghost like unto me. Therefore follow me and do the things that you have seen me do. For the gate that you should enter is repentance and baptism by water. That word repentance is making a change, changing the way that you've been living. Those things that you recognize as you look at Scripture, and you ought to be looking at Scripture, listening to the things that are preached, asking questions about it. When you are contrary to the Word of God, repentance means changing, doing something different. And when you do that, and when you commit yourself to Christ by baptism, it says there cometh a remission of your sins by fire and by the Holy Ghost. And then you're in the straight and narrow path that leads to eternal life. And jumping down to the end, you receive the Holy Ghost and this blessing that guides and leads and directs you through your life. And if we do these things, and you have the leading of the Spirit of God by that Holy Ghost, helping you to make decisions and guiding you, helping you in conjunction with prayer and with putting your heart to the things that we see here, how much clearer is your vision? You'll be able to see. And these are these things, you know, that scripture that I started this particular section with. Christ says, I've come to give life more abundantly. This is more abundant life that God gives. And this clarity of seeing. You see here on the right side, we got normal vision and then nearsightedness, which is what most of us who have corrected vision is we can see better close than we can far away. Difficult to see things far away. But Christ also wants us to be able to see things that are farther away. The gospel also is that we can see and we can make plans and we can consider the future. And so here I have in the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verses 2 through 3, the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon the tables that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it surely will come and it will not tarry. So he's talking to, the Lord is talking to this prophet and he says, write down what I'm telling you. There's a time when it's going to happen. And when that time happens, you're going to look and you're going to say exactly what I said happened. You may have to wait for it. But if it takes a while for these things to come to fruition, wait for it, because the Lord doesn't say things that are not true. And so this is, I want us to think about some of these things that the gospel of Jesus Christ does that helps us to see in the future, helps us to have vision at distance. Alma chapter 9, verses 40 through 41. We see that death comes upon all mankind. There should be no surprise there. That every one of us, we are in this march of time that you cannot stop. I think my mom today said something about Christmas. She doesn't want to think about Christmas because I think Michelle said there's what? Did you say 10 Fridays till Christmas? 10 Fridays till Christmas. My mom said, don't say that because that means the year's almost over. If you remember, I preached a sermon, maybe it was the first sermon of January, and I told you this year is almost over. Just like that. Yesterday, Gordon and I went and ministered to my great uncle Jim, who wasn't feeling well. And we mentioned something about him being old. And he said, well, I don't feel like I'm old. So you don't feel like you're old. How old are you? Well, I'm 96. The Lord wants us to see also. He not only wants us to be able to see things up close that are day to day, but he also wants us by his word to be able to see those things and plan for those things which are coming in the future. And this is not a pleasant concept, but we will not live in this body forever. And in Alma chapter 9, as we see, death comes upon all mankind. This death that has been spoken of by Amulek, there was this sermon that was being preached, two different ministers there, and one of them began talking about this. And then this other minister, Alma, stands up and begins this dissertation. It says, which we see is the temporal death, or the death of a body. Nevertheless, there was a space granted unto men in which he might repent. Therefore, this life became a probationary state, a time to prepare to meet God, a time to prepare for that endless state which has been spoken of by us, which is after the resurrection of the dead. And so Alma says, it's important that you remember that your time is measured here. And at some point, this body is no longer going to have life in it. And there is going to be this endless state of eternity. It says, but you have this time to make decisions. You have this time to make preparations. So you should be looking and seeing in the future. This doesn't mean much, and I don't expect it to mean much to my son Zane or to my son Asher, because at 8 or 13 years old, it seems like it's so far away. But you know, for me, this means a whole lot more than it ever used to. And I'd like to think I have many years left, but you know, time is going quickly. And so the Lord wants me to see in the future and wants me to realize this. Adam, you have this time to live the way that I've asked you to. So clear up your vision and let it be corrected by realizing that this is your time to prepare to meet God. Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. We don't need to read all of this. It's John is sitting there. He's seeing this whole vision. He says, I saw that here at the end of all these things, that there was this giant gathering of everyone who ever was, and they stood before this great white throne, and they were judged one at a time, the things that they did. They were judged according to their works. And he says there was books opened. Are there going to be literal books? I don't know. But within there was these things that the Lord was looking at and making a judgment call on each one of them. And we see here in Romans chapter 14, it says, "For it's written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God." This is something the Lord tells us. You're going to give an account to God. So see, have your vision corrected for the future. You're not always going to have ample opportunity to do whatever you want. And it's important that we consider it. Not that we're afraid of it, but we're motivated by this. That the Lord has called us to change. He desires to bless us in that change if we're willing to do it. But there is a time coming in the future when we're going to give account to God. Amos chapter 3, verses 7. This vision for the future, correcting our vision so we can see at distance. That this statement, the Lord God will do nothing but that he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. The scriptures are full of these things that are prophecies of events to come. And we're seeing things going on right now within the world. Perhaps it is a fulfillment of some of these prophecies. Maybe it's not quite yet. But we've seen, and we can look throughout time, events that have happened after the Bible and Book of Mormon were compiled together that fulfilled the things that were written in there. Events that fulfilled prophecies that were written many, many years ago. And, you know, those things are there that we can see clearly to give us a vision for the future. We see here in 3 Nephi chapter 10, verses 26 through 29, that Christ is talking to the people here. He says, "I say that you ought to search these things. I give a commandment unto you, that you search these things diligently, for greater the words of Isaiah. For surely he spoke as touching all the things concerning my people, which are of the house of Israel. Therefore it must needs be that he speak also to the Gentiles. And all the things that he spake hath been and shall be, even according to the word which he spake. And so we see this encouragement by Christ that says, "I've given you, I'm willing to correct your vision so that you can see the things that are going to happen. But you need to be looking at it, studying it, praying about it, considering it." And, you know, the word of God is complete. The scriptures we have are complete. It helps us to see things that are necessary day by day, and also those things that are in the future. Corrects our vision completely. This is what the gospel of Jesus Christ does. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, it says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." That word study, it means to use speed or to make effort, to be prompt, to have diligence. Have diligence to take a look at, to consider the word of God. I want to do something here real quick. I wonder if Nathan would be willing to come up here. If Nathan would be willing to come up here. Nay, come all the way up here. Just switch glasses with me.
You're not going to like that.
I'm not going to like it. Are you going to like mine? Oh, goodness.
Yeah. No, these are not bad, actually.
Yeah, do you see better?
A little bit better than here, but I'm sure you see worse.
Yeah, I see terrible. I feel like when I was in the police academy and they were teaching us how to process DUIs, they give us, anybody ever had the beer goggles on? I can't, if somebody's got their hand up, I can't see. And you put them on. We're not done yet. You just leave them on. Enjoy them. You look great, I'm sure. I literally cannot see what you look like, but I'm sure you look great. But you put them on, and they're just like this, except it makes you kind of wiggle a little bit. It's weird, and so then you have to do something. That's what these glasses are like. And this is one of these things I think is really important. None of you obviously can see what I'm seeing or not seeing right now, But not a single one of you should trust me to give you directions right now. Not a single one of you. I can't see. This is terrible. I can't see. Not a single one of you should trust me to give you directions. Good night. You like mine though, huh?
They're not bad.
Yeah, they're not bad. Yours are horrific. You can sit down now. I was going to have you switch with somebody else, with one of these younger guys, but I was afraid that we put them on yours on Zane. I knew that you'd have probably some of the worst ones. No offense. Yeah. Pretty bad. There's something important about what I just did. You need to be looking at the Word of God, and you need to be trying to understand it. You cannot use my understanding. It's not worth anything to you. I mean, it could help. Nathan would be able to walk, right? He'd be able to walk a little bit. I didn't touch your lenses. What do you... He's going to take Andrew's? Oh, or Deb's are worse? Yeah, probably. My understanding of Scripture can be a strength to you. It can help to be a guide to you, but it is not vision for you. You need to be looking at the Word of God, thinking about it, asking questions about it, considering it. We don't do this well in this church. I'm not saying that to offend anybody, but we don't do it well. I don't do it well. We don't study well. We have difficulty with it. It takes effort for me. I have all sorts of things that I need to do every day. And so as I prioritize it, things like this end up falling down lower and lower on there. You should not take everything that the ministry here say as 100% correct and perfect and true. You should be getting in and looking at the Scriptures. You should be considering it. You should be studying it. We should all be doing this. We should be looking at the Word of God, because the Word of God that is here to give us this vision, it's not just for the ministry. It's not just so I can read it and expound it to you. We believe that one of these blessings and one of these reasons why it was written for us, so each one of us can have it and be edified and blessed by it. This is part of a complete vision that Christ wants us to have. Mormon chapter 4, verses 66 through 68. Again, I speak unto you who deny the revelations of God and say that they're done away, and that there are no revelations, nor prophecies, nor gifts, nor healing, nor speaking with tongues, nor interpretation of tongues. Behold, I say unto you, he that denieth these things knoweth not the gospel of Christ. Yea, he has not read the Scriptures. If so, he does not understand them. For do we not read that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and in him there's no variableness, neither shadow of changing? We should be able to speak about what we believe. We should be able to say that if you are a member of the Church of Christ, that you've read the Scriptures. We can't speak of things with any degree of authority if we haven't actually looked at it. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, and I'm not accusing, but I know that it took a long time for me. After I was baptized even, I'd already committed myself to Christ, and I hadn't read through the Scriptures. Years. It took me years before I finally said, you know what, I really ought to know what it is I believe. I was ineffective if I were to have been a witness, because how could I talk about the truth of the gospel when it wasn't that I didn't even truly know it. I hadn't read it. I hadn't looked at it. You know, this scripture here, it says, talking about those people who say God doesn't work and all that. And I'm not equating those two things, but it's important here. He says, behold, I say unto you that he that denieth these things knoweth not the gospel of Christ. He has not read them. If so, he does not understand them. You know, the Lord's desire is for us to know his word. It is part of, you know, this morning Gordon was talking about this example of Christ and the church and a marriage. And one of these things he talked about is you can't have a marriage that works if there's not communication going on and you learn to know each other. And I have not seen Christ. I haven't had a conversation with him. I know him through my prayer and through reading his word. That's how I know him. It's there that I am strengthened and blessed by. And we need to be remembering this. This is the way that the Lord, one of the ways that the Lord speaks to us and helps us to see. My last scripture here, Psalm 146, 8 through 10, it says, "The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. He raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and the widow, but the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord." I believe this with my whole heart. The more I got into the Lord's word, the more I read the scriptures, the more I prayed. The more I prayed, not just the general prayers that I think a lot of us pray, you know, whether over our food or over a day and all that, but when I really put my heart to seeking the Lord, that I began to see things so much differently. When I prayed before I studied, when I did that, you know, the Lord helped me understand things differently. I was able to make changes differently. I was able to understand I'm trying to think of the right way to say this. I want to say the word, you know, the tactics of the Lord to overcome things. I learned this. My eyes were opened. And this is the desire of the Lord. Not that we have trouble seeing, but he wants our vision corrected. He wants us to be able to see completely. He wants us to have glasses that work. He wants us to have contacts that work. I'm proud to say that my vision is corrected here to 20/10. I can see the smallest little thing there. But only because I went through, you know, I started with somebody taking me. And throughout my life, I've made efforts to make sure because, I want to be able to see. And I use what has been given me to help me to be able to physically see. And this is the effort that I have to continue making through my life, to be able to see the plan of God for all of us, the plan of God for me, all of these things. And so, you know, I want to recap here is that every one of you at some point are going to need glasses, right? Every one of you. We cannot see throughout our entire life without help eventually. And from a spiritual standpoint, Jesus Christ is the one who gives clarity to our vision. And we talked about this clearing up our nearsightedness or our farsightedness, whatever it is, nearsighted, so we can see things up close. And we start with prayer. And we look to I asked you, and I'm going to encourage you to look through that Sermon on the Mount. And each of these things, if you put it into use, if you try to consider it and make your changes in life, it's going to help you to see close, repent, and be baptized. All of these things is going to help you day by day. And then this vision, this distance vision, realizing that there is an end to our human life. We will have a judgment. The Lord has done all these things so that that doesn't have to be a day that we're concerned about. There are prophecies and things that the Lord has caused to be written so that we know what is coming and so that we can be prepared for those days. We have this responsibility to be making efforts to understand the word of the Lord. You cannot count on me to be the one to expound all of the scriptures fully to your understanding. You have to be able to look at it yourself. You need to be reading yourself. My glasses are not sufficient for you to do or to have or for you to be able to see clearly. My glasses on Nathan weren't bad, but I guarantee you it's not what his glasses are. He couldn't see as well. You have to be looking and remembering that the Lord's desire is to open the eyes of the blind and lift up those people who are humble and to do all of these things. This is the Lord's desire. So that's the message I have for you tonight. God bless you, and thank you for not making fun of me too much with my glasses on, except my phone keeps buzzing, so people must keep sending me pictures here. But God bless you each.